C2A. Number 9B.
We come to the next subtone of soul, and you see at once that the subject changes, where we read the spiritual essence of blood is what? Sacrifice. And you come at once to soul, which says you have to sacrifice your material, personal sense of things. Whereas the theology really says that the blood that Jesus spent on the cross is really that agreement that our sins are forgiven if we believe in Jesus and ask Jesus for forgiveness. The efficacy of Jesus' spiritual offering, can you see again, principle as soul, the efficacy, the spiritual power, the power of demonstration of Jesus, was what? The spiritual offering. The spiritual sacrifice, soul. So she says that the efficacy of Jesus' spiritual offering is infinitely greater than can be expressed by our sense of human blood, of human sacrifice. So that spending of blood that Jesus sacrificed has no power in itself, has no efficacy in itself. That's what theology says, that has power. And that Mrs. Eric comes and says, no, that which has power and has efficacy is a spiritual offering and not a blood offering, so to say. The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin. Can you hear to cleanse from sin again? So the material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious principle to cleanse from sin. So, when it was shed upon the accursed tree, then when it was flowing in his veins, as he went daily about his father's business. So just that blood which he had in his vein when he was walking around in Israel, that didn't do anything good. The blood as itself doesn't do anything good. And so the losing of the blood on the crucifixion doesn't do anything good. What then does something good? What demonstrates then principle? She says, well, the efficacy lies really in the spiritual offering, in the giving up of our own self, or as she says, by cleansing us from sin. That has really power. That the measure that we cleanse ourselves and give up that which is wrong, that which is the counterfeit of our true self, of our spiritual self, that has power. That does something. His true flesh and blood were his life, and they truly eat his flesh and drink his blood who partake of that divine life. So that was the spiritual offering, namely, really, to partake of the divine life and not of mortal life. So we had that third tone, which really shows that through our unity with principle, we are first, as mind, we must first see that we work with the divine mind, and let ourselves be instructed through the divine mind, what is in the text, in the original text, in the books of Revelation. Second, that we must differ, as spirit, that we must differ from theology and spiritualism, that is not really the pure spiritual science of Christian Science. And that third, we demonstrate really that principle by being willing to sacrifice our wrong sense of self, giving up a sense that we are a mortal, giving up the sense that we are a sinner, giving up all that false sense, that has power. And actually, when you have this preconditions, then truth, principle as principle, then comes full flung, so to say, into operation, and we get the principle as principle, a very strong sense that on that basis we really can prove the divine principle. How does she say that? It's again two long paragraphs, and they more or less bring up always the same fundamental proposition that principle must be demonstrated through principle, and that principle must be proved through principle, and therefore not through any other theory and any other teaching. Jesus taught. See, the moment you come to principle, you get teaching. Principle teaches, explains, interprets. So Jesus taught the way of life by demonstration. So you have the way of life by demonstration, principle. So that we may understand how this divine principle heals the sick, goes out there and triumphs over death. So that we know how to understand the healing principle. Jesus presented the ideal of God better than could any man whose origin was less spiritual. Namely, by his obedience to God. Now, what is obedience to God? Principle. Huh? Always obedience to God is principle. That principle demonstrates itself. So obedience demonstrates itself. He demonstrated more spiritually than others the principle of being. Hence the fourth of his admonition, if you love me, keep my commandments, be obedient, use and practice obedience. So here, in a very clear-cut way, we have the sense of principle as principle. That principle demonstrates itself how? Through a principled attitude, which is obedience. That only if we are in line with principle, principle demonstrates itself in us. The next paragraph goes on with that demonstration. Though demonstrating his control over sin and disease, the great teacher by no means relieved others from giving the requisite proof of their own piety. Again, you can see she brings in the point. Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus showed that through his obedience he could demonstrate it. Now in this paragraph she said, and what Jesus did, you have to do. He didn't do it for you. You have to do it also. And so he relieved us not of the requisite proof, principle of our own piety. He worked for their guidance. See, his work was collective, not only individual. That they might demonstrate this power, can you hear? Demonstrate this power, principle, as he did, and understand its divine principle. Implicit faith in the teacher. The teacher here is capitalized, that means Jesus as a teacher, doesn't just mean human teacher, which would even be more true for human teacher. So implicit faith in the teacher, Jesus, and all the emotional love we can bestow on him, on Jesus, will never alone make us imitators of him. So it's all that paragraph is to say, we have to do it ourselves. Jesus didn't do it for us, and there is no spiritual power in just standing in awe before Jesus and have emotional love for him. That does not make us somebody who imitates him or makes him imitates his proofs. Therefore, we must go and do likewise. We can again see that we have to do the same as Jesus did, else we are not improving the great blessing which our Master worked, principle, and suffered to bestow upon us. the divinity of the Christ, not the divinity of Jesus, not the divinity of the teacher, now the divinity of the Christ was made manifest in the humanity of Jesus. A very great point, that the divinity must be manifest in the humanity of Jesus, in the humanity of us, so that we can really see that the divinity always has the impact on our human life, on our mortal life, by really overcoming mortal life, that it has an impact of our human life by making the human disappear step by step, the second degree, the transitional state of the human, so that finally, as Jesus would ascend, so that finally even the human has been overcome, because we had before that Mrs. Eddy said that the divine must overcome the human at every point. At every point, the human finally has to yield to the spiritual. This is the tone of principle as principle, which we have summarized and says, through man's unity with principle, we are enabled to demonstrate the divine in the human. But then we go further to the tone of life, where we see what? Here a paragraph, and therefore we have always seen that life is showing that there is the way of life, that on that way of life we have to go individually, and that we have really to have the individual experience, and this is shown here too. While we adore Jesus, and the heart overflows with gratitude for what he did for mortals, his demonstration principle, namely doing what? Now comes life, the way of life, treading alone his loving pathway, can you hear the way of life, up to the throne of glory, it's an ascending way, up to the glory of glory, in speechless agony exploring the way for us. You have the bitter experience of life again, the cup, that says, well, that exploring the way was not just a nice drive, but it was a very sturdy way, exploring the way. Yet Jesus, though he did that, spares us not one individual experience. Can you see again life? Always when we come to life or the subtone of life, we find that it must be a constant, either a constant self-immolation, or that it is taking off the burden of our shoulders so that we can run the race of God, or it is that each individual must really show forth that and must have experience that we can't get around experience, so that Jesus bears us not one individual experience if we follow his commands faithfully, if we are really obedient and follow it, and all have the cup of sorrowful effort to drink. Can you hear again the tone of life? The cup of sorrow, effort to drink, that is always a symbol of laying down the mortal, of giving up the false sense of things. Without that, nothing is really going to happen. But also, till all are redeemed through divine love. So, the side note is very interesting, individual experience. So while principle as principle said that in principle we must demonstrate really the divine, so that the divine is demonstrated in the human, life says, but that must be an individual demonstration. That must be an individual experience. Each one has to do it in his own life and therefore go through that wilderness and find its way out until finally he is redeemed through divine love, or is fully redeemed. So we get here principle as life, principle practiced in everyday life. That's principle life. You know, it's always interesting to see in the textbook, over and over and over, it's a law in the textbook that we can have no demonstration of life without mind, spirit, soul principle. That demonstrating life cannot be an attempt that we make and say, let us demonstrate really God and live God. Usually we say, people say, well, the science is all right, but the main thing is that you live it. Well. See, so it's right and it's wrong. It's right and it's wrong. It's no and yes. It's wrong, in most cases it's wrong, because they don't know the principle which they have to live. They think the main thing is that I live it, that I live it. It, what is the it? Isn't that so that we constantly hear that, well, the main thing is that you live it, without defining what the it is? What is that it that we live? Well, that it is not just an it, it's just not what we think we should live. That it is a science. That it is a principle. Therefore, life comes always after principle. But principle is never a principle without mind, spirit, soul. So the living of Christian science is starting with mind, and not with living. It's going on to spirit, and not by living. It's going on to soul, not by living it. It's going on to principle. And only then you can live it, namely the principle. And because the students do not know that law of Genesis, that builds up really the principle that has to be practiced, and just take a principle as an esoteric concept, which doesn't mean anything, it's just a nice term, it just sounds very good. If we say principle. But principle is really mind, spirit, soul as one. And only then when we see principle as mind, spirit, soul, we can live principle. Namely by applying ourselves to principle, by going to principle and let principle live us. So always think of it. Terrific subject comes up and up and up and up again and again and again, which says, well, the main thing is to live it. What is the it? That it is mind, spirit, soul, principle. Without that, we live really a belief. We really live a belief. A belief in God, a belief in Christian science, a belief in anything, but it's a blind belief. It's not based on an unshakable basis or foundation called principle. Then we go to truth, and we come to truth where we see the following. The Christ, well, the moment I hear the Christ, I know it's the Christ truth, and somehow my consciousness gears in and channels itself to the point of truth. The Christ was the spirit which Jesus implied in his own statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I and my Father are one. Can you see, I and my Father are one is principle, huh? Principle and idea is one. And at the point of truth, principle as truth, it is the Christ, that principle becomes the Savior. This Christ, and you see now it comes all again and again, this Christ, or divinity of the man Jesus, was his divine nature, the godliness which animated him, Now, what does it mean in practical experience for us? It says, all right, through man's unity with God, I and the Father are one. Through man's unity with God, that consciousness triggers off the Christ idea. It comes to me. It begins to work as a savior in me. My very oneness with God becomes the Christ to me. It's the divinity of us. It's the divine nature that now, the divine consciousness that now animates us. And what happens then? Then divine truth, life, and love. Divine truth, life, and love. What is divine truth, life, and love? The Christ in absolute Christian Science. We have seen this comes again and again in the text of the second chapter. Gave Jesus authority. Can you see? He got his authority from on high. He got it from absolute Christian Science. He got it from the person of God, or from life, truth, and love, which says, I am the Christ, I am truth, life, and love, and that gave Jesus the authority over sin, sickness, and death. Where do we want to find it? At the same way as Jesus found it. We must not see that through positive thinking we can be the healer, that through positive and affirmation of true statements, that is the Christ. That's not the Christ. That's ordinary metaphysics, all-time metaphysics of treating something with affirmation of truth and denial of error that has nothing to do with Christian Science. That's a very weak and method that Mrs. Eddy had to introduce at the beginning of her teaching, because at that time they couldn't take anything higher than that. But that should be long overcome when we study science. And therefore the whole textbook only speaks here and there with a little sentence about that old method of argumentation, says that's all right as long as you haven't got the spirit of science. But if we have the spirit of science, we really drop that method of healing through argumentation and accept something that is of the nature of science, where she said that it is truth, life, and love that gave Jesus really authority over sin, sickness, and death. She doesn't say that Jesus argued with sickness. She said he was a willing instrument of the nature of God and of the Christ that translated himself from absolute Christian Science to Christian Science. His mission was therefore to reveal the science of celestial being, namely to prove what God is and what he does for man. Can you see? His proof was not to prove physical harmony, but his proof was to prove God, what God is. That's a much higher proof. That's a proof which we should give, that our treatment is actually a treatment not with the glory of physical healing, that our treatment is with the aim of glorifying the nature of God, the complete and perfect nature of God, and that God has never dropped his standard, has never lost any vestige of perfection. That's what we demonstrate. We demonstrate the perfection of God, and not in the first place mind over matter. The demonstration of mind over matter is a fallout, so to say, a spin-off of that higher scientific method. Then we have a last subtone of love. Here again, a rather longish description, because she again shows it through an illustration, and that always takes a lot of words. But we see at once what it means here. A musician, so she gives the illustration through a musician, demonstrates the beauty of the music. The music he teaches. Demonstrates the beauty of the music he teaches, For what purpose? In order to show the learner the way of practice as well as precept. So it teaches really the practice of principle. Jesus' teaching and practice get always a tone of principle. Of truth involves such a sacrifice as makes us admit something quite different, namely that its principle to be love. See, he practiced not to show that principle is that which brings a physical healing, but to show that principle is love. That's a very high method of treatment. This was the precious import of our Master's sinless career and of his demonstration of power over death, because demonstration over death and the grave as the end product of his life was really to prove that his principle is love, that love never left him. We will see that as we go further in the chapter, that then we see that this is really the pinnacle of his demonstration. He proved by his deeds, again you have principle, that Christian Science destroys sickness, sin and death. So that is the spin-off of proving really that the principle is love. And the spin-off of it is the science following it is the demonstration, the healing practice. Again, now having shown that through a musician, our master taught no mere theory, doctrine, or belief. And you see, the counterfeit of principle is mere theory, doctrine, or belief. He didn't teach that. What did he teach? It was the divine principle of all real being, which he taught and practiced. So that's the fact about it. His proof of Christianity was no form or system of religion and worship, but Christian Science working out the harmony of life and love. Again, we can see that what he was working out was the harmony of God, of life, truth, and love. That was what he wanted to demonstrate. And that he did on the basis of a principle, not on the basis of mere theory, doctrine, and beliefs. And therefore, that message to John the Baptist, Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist, which was intended to prove beyond the question that the Christ had come, that the Christ would really translate the demonstration of life, truth, and love to the point of bringing it down right to the healing practice. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, the gospel is preached. In other words, tell John what the demonstration of divine power is. Can you hear the tone of principle? And he will at once perceive that God is a power in the messianic work. Again, never forget that God is a power in the messianic work, that truth, life, and love are really that which gave us authority over sin, sickness, and death. I don't know why that is a question, she says. Tell John what the demonstration of divine power is, and he will at once perceive that God is the power in the messianic work, and he didn't accept it. John didn't accept it, and it cost him his head, as we know. That John the Baptist is quite an enigma to many of us who cannot see that one can love God and preach God and teach God with the second degree consciousness. Then you accept it like John the Baptist did, but because he didn't see it and accepted it in its science on the third degree, it cost his head. and it costs us all our head. Any one of us will have to lose his head sooner or later if we are not building really our practice, our life practice, on the science of that one principle. This is the Atonement and Eucharist at the point of principle. We'll summarize it tonight when we meet again